Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Just a general question, since Alex Cora meets the media for the first day on the picnic tables down there in Fort Myers. How much of a difference can a manager make? Because just to refresh all of our memories, which I just had to refresh with you off the air before the light went on, they haven't done a single thing to their roster, have they?
No, really, nothing. I mean, Mitch Moreland was a free agent. They re-signed him.
Okay, status quo.
Okay, but other than that,
Nunez isn't back yet.
Nope. They lost Chris Young, I think, right? He's out. Chris Young is gone. But I think that is pretty much the end of it.
Okay. So they've had
no additions, no subtractions.
Generally speaking, the same team now going to the third straight year. The only thing that's different is the manager.
Correct.
How should I feel about that?
Not great. I told you this is, so when I say not great, this is sort of a, you know, is the glass half empty or half full? Or is there just half stuff in the glass? Like, you follow me? Like,
no.
I look at it and I say with the Red Sox, they're not bad. See, the part of this narrative that is bugging me is that, yo, the Red Sox suck. They don't suck. That's wrong. They're a pretty good team. They've won two straight divisions and 93 wins basically the last 2 years. That is not a bad club. We know what a bad club is. That's not bad. Okay, so the narrative that they suck to me irritates the crap out of me.
Who's saying they suck?
I've heard people say, oh, the Red Sox suck.
Oh, they don't suck.
Just in passing, I've heard them say it. And they don't mean it literally, but the actual word choice bugs the crap out of me.
Well, sort of how they maybe just feel about the whole thing.
Okay, so it has been an uninspiring winter, to say the least. It has been, you know, incredibly uninspiring, and there is something missing on this team. And the short answer is power. So when you ask me how do I feel about the team, I have felt worse. Over the years, I felt a lot worse. There have been years where the Red Sox have gone into camp, and I have said, well, forget it. They got nothing. They're not going to win. They don't have enough. And then there are other years I go in and think they're loaded. And this one, to me, I feel like they're somewhere in between. They're pretty good. They are a B, B-plus kind of team. And so how do I feel about it? I feared, though, going into the offseason that all they were going to do was change the manager.
So all they've done is change the manager. This, you know, it just strikes me as I ask you, and I just thought about it, like, all they did was change the manager. Two straight years, 93 wins, win the division, done in one round, not even really close. And all they did was change the manager. Is that enough?
No.
Well, let me ask you a different way. And again, we're starting baseball. Jimmy, you may release the hounds, please. Thank you. 617-779-0985. What's their ceiling? Can they win a World Series?
I'd say right now, no.
Yeah, sure they can. You don't think so?
I think they're just a little short. They're close, though. They're not that far off.
You don't think the pitching is there? The pitching is there, isn't it?
On paper, it is.
Yes, well, that's all we have.
Yeah, on paper, it is.
Can they?
No.
I didn't say will they. Can they? What's their ceiling?
They have the arms to win a World Series.
They do. Their ceiling is they are. This isn't the...
We comparing them to some of the teams in the National League, too? No, they can't.
They can't.
No.
They're not good enough to win the World Series. Period. Story over.
Not with that offense, no.
I disagree with you.
Well, look, I mean, there have been...
Again, if they hit their ceiling, are they a championship team? They could be.
Sure. Yeah, but it's going to take a lot to get there, and the competition's good. So that's a different question than are they a favorite to win?
Well, no, because, I mean, look, I mean, I could look at 12 teams in the league right off the top and say, well, that's not a championship team. That's not a championship team.
I mean, it might even be more than that now.
You know, whatever. You know, you look at Toronto, that's not a championship team. You look at whatever those teams are out west, they're not a championship team. The Red Sox could be a championship team.
Okay, so this is where it gets gray, because a lot of people feel like Murray feels, and I don't think he's wrong either. There's something missing. So to me, this is sort of where they are.
There's no question there's something missing.
They've been lifeless and sackless in two straight postseasons. Why the hell would I believe that they're a World Series caliber team?
Does a manager make that much of a difference? Can he instill sack those intangibles that we've talked about?
Some. And I think that Cora can actually help them on that level, believe it or not. Because I think Cora has more of an edge than Farrell does. You know, at least in terms of getting the ear of his players. You know, the comment by Price the other day, as much as we dumped on it, indicated that there's now an ability for David Price to communicate with his manager where that wasn't there before. And I don't think Price was the only one. So is Cora going to be able to look at Price and go, would you stop bitching and just pitch? I think so. And I think that Price might actually be able to listen to him. So that is all well and good, but I hear what Murray's saying. This is... for the Red Sox, okay, it's been 2 years in a row now. The damage they did last season, at the end of it in particular, to me was significant. They got to the same spot, same group of guys, and we all said, well, they got Sale now, let's see what happens. And the same offensive players generally fell on their faces, Sale spit up on himself, and the same thing happened to them that happened the year before. So you look at it and say, well, that's it. They can't get over the hump, which is not necessarily fair to them, because who knows? Maybe it comes a year later. But at this point, it has reached the stage with them where it is a prove it, show me, win me over kind of year. Win me over.
See, I mean, I think they've had the talent. So there's just, like you said, something missing and some sort of threshold they have to cross. So some sort of change they need to make, some sort of... And there's just a little bit of the, you know, there's something that's in the DNA of the team that's not quite right. I mean, I think we all agree with that. Is a manager enough to change all that DNA?
I don't.
Because that's what they're banking on. Because they haven't changed a damn thing. They haven't changed anything. Nunez is gone. He still might come back. But other than that, like, Nate, like...
The same unreliable faces are here, like Jackie Bradley Jr. and Hanley Ramirez.
Are the same relievers there? Is it the same bullpen?
Pretty much.
It's like the same exact team.
Yes,
yeah,
Henry,
Kelly, it's not
okay,
much.
Okay, so can a manager do it? Let me ask you this, Maz. I'll ask everybody, and we have this ready to go for the simulcast as well. Give me your American League power rankings heading into the year.
Okay, so to me, number one clearly above everyone else is Houston. That's not even close. And then the rest of them, you can probably...
What's the rotation? Keuchel, Cole?
Verlander.
Oh, Verlander. Keuchel, Verlander, and then Gerrit Cole, right?
Yeah, and then they got, I think it's McCullers and Morton after that as 4 and 5. And then their lineup comes back intact. Intact. They didn't lose anybody. And their bullpen comes back intact. The team that won 100 and whatever games last year and then pretty much, you know, rumbled to the World Series championship.
Houston clear-cut, number two.
Yankees. And look, again, you want to tell me the Yankees have a hole in pitching? I say yes, but I think the Yankees have turned a corner. Now, look, you get the same thing there with a rookie manager. I don't know what happens there. Girardi were back. I'd feel better about them. But the Yankees got a good team, and I put Cleveland third. Those, to me, are your three best teams. Houston.
How do you have Cleveland over the Red Sox?
Because they won 102 games last year.
And they have real bats.
Okay. Weren't they one and done just like you?
Yeah, but Cleveland, they beat the Red Sox ass 2 years ago.
So now we're going back 2 years.
I'm just telling you, the last 2 years of Cleveland have been better than the last two of the Red Sox, haven't they?
Yeah, I was just asking for a rationale.
Yeah, Cleveland's better than the Red Sox. I put the Red Sox fourth.
Better manager, too.
That's where I put them. And then after that, take your pick. I put the Twins in there, but, you know, the American League goes down fast after the top four.
Murray?
Astros with a bullet. I mean, I think they're the best team in baseball. Then the Yankees, Indians, Angels, kind of going out on a limb there.
Ooh.
And then the Red Sox.
What's the Angels' rotation?
Well, they got Ohtani. Garrett Richards is their start. I mean, their starting pitching isn't all that great, but I think they have a much better lineup of the Red Sox.
Okay,
there's real pop there.
They do. I mean, the top four should be pretty simple. Houston, Yankees, Red Sox, Cleveland. And, you know, and I say whatever order, Houston's got to be number one. And then you debate whether the Sox have been really passed by the Yankees, and I would say yes. I go New York, two, and then Red Sox, three. You're right about Cleveland the last couple of years. I don't know. I feel like... They peaked, and now they're going to start heading down.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened at the end of last year, and that's what happened into the playoffs. It really did. So, what was that run they went on last year? They went like 20-something straight games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, 23 in a row or something like
Remember,
that.
Remember, like, that's like, you know, welcome to your 2017-2018 Boston Bruins. You know, like, it's that headed down, and I don't know. I don't know where they're headed. But
see, but I look at Cleveland's young talent, and I say Cleveland's got some young superstars. The shortstop's a superstar. Lindor's a superstar. And, you know, Jose Ramirez and Kipnis. And, you know, like, I look at their young players and I say, I think they got higher ceilings than the Red Sox young players.
Who's the Red Sox Edward Encarnacion, who they should have been in on? You know, like, they don't have a bat like
that. I mean, they do on paper. Again, on paper.
Hanley
is the guy. And if just half of your young players rebound from subpar years, you're ahead of the game, aren't you? Well, just some form of Bradley, Bogarts, Betts, Benintendi, Devers, you know, just three of those guys.
Yes.
Really, all of them.
Listen, I'm not ruling that out. I'm just telling you that this, to me, this is what the year amounts to for them now. Look, I'd want to believe.
What's their ceiling? They can be a World Series team. They could be.
Sure, they could.
They could.
Yeah, if it all comes together, sure they could. But they're going to need Devers hit for power and Bogarts hit for power. And put it this way, in the last 2 years to me, last year in particular, they underachieved. They underachieved. I don't care how many games they won. They underachieved. They're capable of more. They are capable of more, and I would hope that somewhere along the line, one of those young guys looks in the mirror and says, enough, we're not doing this again.
What I found amazing is, you know, Houston got better because they had Cole. The Yankees got much better with Stanton and, you know, other things. And all the Red Sox did was change their manager, who sucked. Now, that position was dying for an upgrade, crying for an upgrade. And so they changed the manager, except it's a first-year guy. It's a first-year manager in Boston. And so how much can it make a difference? Is he even the guy? Why'd they hire him in the first place? I think there are, you know, there are questions there. Was it purely baseball reasons? And is it enough? Because that's all they did. That's all they did. And is that enough to make that difference?
I think we have five number ones.
Okay, so I'm going to miss the big fella. I am. Because I don't know if
a ball in flight.
We're not going to be able to make fun of Cora like we did the other guy. It's just
110 individual events inside of a game.
It's impossible. It's impossible that Cora is going to give us as much
time. We have five starters.
No. So, but can he change what needed to be changed? Can a manager make that big of a difference in baseball? We're starting Red Sox with your thoughts right after this. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
My style is yet to be determined. One thing for sure, enjoy the process. Relax through it. It's very important. The more you enjoy it and the more relaxing is the environment, the better it's going to be for you. So that's going to be part of it.
Oh, good. We need it more relaxed. Like, we need a relaxed, happy atmosphere. That's what, you know, this just this insistence by the Red Sox front office and manager to make it happy and loose and, you know, just a relaxed atmosphere for the players. As opposed to, no, we're going to have a hard-working culture, we're going to show up, we're gonna, you know, it's like, no, we got to have fun.
How much more relaxed could it get when you had Pablo Sandoval going to take a dump and he's on Instagram trying to work some, you know, some Instagram model? Like, come on.
So look, they hated their manager before, and they'll like this guy. Maybe that's part of what he's referring to. But again, I just don't like that message. So you have to cater to the players more? Like, is that what he's implying? That they haven't given enough to the players? That they haven't made it as relaxed of an atmosphere as the players want? Oy vey.
So maybe, you know, maybe that's a shot at Farrell. Like, Farrell's a tight ass and the guys didn't like him and it created a bad environment and they couldn't go out and play. I don't know. Like, I do look at this team and I feel like they're soft. I feel like they're soft.
Exactly. And so does that comment make you feel like he's going to come in here and toughen them up a little bit?
I don't know, but I do think that his when I say that, Cora to me as a competitor has a little bit of an edge to him. And I think that that can serve this team well. They got too many passive guys there. And so, look, I'm starting to like Mookie more and more the more we learn about him. You know, digging in on this contract stuff feels to me like Mookie is giving the team the finger. And I think that that is good. I think that's a good thing for the Red Sox. They have too many young guys who think they've accomplished something and they're just kind of coasting in. Well, we've won two divisions in a row. Divisions don't mean jack. I'm sorry, we're spoiled here now. It's got to be more than that. They got to make a run.
Okay, so your thoughts going over Alex Cora and David Price, who spoke today. Alex down in up in New Hampshire. Hi, Alex.
Hi. I think that David Price should stay in the bullpen because he was absolutely wiped out at the end of the season. And I also think that John Farrell was one of the worst managers I've ever seen and that the manager has a lot to do with the players.
Okay, we'll see. I don't know. I mean,
very confident and strong.
So far, I mean, you just have to keep playing those, Jimmy, because it's all you're going to get.
Can I get a fresh and powerful Jimmy?
You're right, 120, maybe that's the limit. Let's go to 120. How about 130?
That's him getting chirped in the stands in Tampa, not Boston, in Tampa.
Right. Guy that was fresh and powerful.
So listen, the first thing about Price, Cora was talking today about Price making 30 starts, so he's not going back to the bullpen. Forget that. Two. So, can the team be better just because they don't hate the guy in the manager's office?
Sure.
Does that... Okay, but...
I'm not ruling it out at this point.
See, I think they need... So, you hit it, Maz. They need to be tougher.
See, but to me, a lot of that's...
I mean, the players need to be tougher. So, having a manager that they like that makes them tougher when it matters in those games in October?
2013 kind of proved that, didn't it? I mean, new manager, they had things to prove. They wanted to, you know, shove the bats down the previous regime's throats, and they did.
So I thought of that too, Murray, except it was a new roster. It was a new roster. They brought in Napoli. They brought in Victorino. The whole thing was built towards, we are going to grind. And again, I know they won the World Series, but the plan was, let's win 87 games, play hard, and win our fans back. That's what it was. They gave you that and more. Okay, the last time they had a talented team and changed just managers was Bobby Valentine. Okay, and that went sideways. No, I take it back. That went down the drain. It went the other way, and then they had to rip the roster apart. To me, it feels like the DNA of this team has to be altered somehow.
And I wonder if a manager's enough to do it. Cora scares me as a first-year guy. I know, tough, tough place to be a first-year Major League manager. Here's Adam in Nashua. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What do you got?
What I was thinking about, when I look at Cora's lineup, I know I agree that this team is still good, and I think the ceiling for them is they can go back to the playoffs. But when I look at this lineup, I still don't see it as a big threat. And I don't know if you guys want to argue that, you know, signing J.D. Martinez is still the right thing to do. But for me, I think it is. I don't know if you saw the report. The Red Sox are still standing firm on their five-year, $100 million contract. So from my point, do you guys feel that the Red Sox should be paying this guy more money to have him be the threat in that lineup?
No. I'm not convinced he'll come here and be a threat. I think he's a contract drive and a free agent bust waiting to happen. I feel that way. And it's just a feeling. And I felt that from day one. 5 years, 100. I thought it was 5 years, 150.
5-125 is the one I saw.
5-125.
25 a year.
Okay. So if the Red Sox cave at this point, they're stupid because no one's caving. The owners have won. It's the players now who are going to have to start coming back to the teams with lower demands and lower offers, and that's what's going to happen across the league. If the Red Sox buck that trend and then they up their offer when there's no real competition, stupid.
Well, and I think you're starting to see that. I think you're starting to see some players now saying, all right, book me, I'll take a deal and come into camp.
We lost.
Yeah.
It's okay, fellas. You lost. You've won every year in my lifetime. You lost this one. The owners got smart. They're not taking the cheese. Finally. Good for them. Good for the Red Sox. Again, for once, they're not bending over and just letting Scott Boras spank them. Chris in Scituate. Go, Chris.
Yeah, so given Darvish's track record, the value of starting pitching, and the fact that he just accepted less money than what Martinez was commanding, does that pressure JD to sign the Sox, or pressure the Sox to take the offer off the table?
No, see, I think the pressure is on the players. The owners, again, have won. The numbers are coming down.
Oh, to me, it's totally on the players. Again, you know, camp's here. Camp's here. And these guys don't have jobs yet, so do you not want to get paid or what?
And it's crazy. It's like this, you know, this clock starts ticking, too, about all the other, like, real-life concerns. Like, where are you going to live? Your kid's got to enroll in school. Your wife has got to check out the neighborhood you want to live in. Camp starts today. You're like, you got to start getting ready to live somewhere, and where are you moving? Like, that's got to put the pressure on the players. And so, I mean, I wonder, Maz, if it's going to cause them to sign short-term deals and wait for things to reset?
Maybe. You might see some of that, but again,
which would be great, by the way. That's another great thing for the owners.
Sure, it serves the teams if it goes that way.
Like, to me, J.D. Martinez, if you want to say J.D. Martinez can come here on a 2-year deal, I feel totally different about him. Because he's not going to kill you long term. If you can get a short term deal for J.D. Martinez, then I just might be buying.
Right, take a shot.
It's the 5 years, 125 that scares the crap out of me.
No, I'm not doing that either. And look, again, I just think it's reached a stage. Now, we're not at a drop dead yet because the fact is spring training's too long. So players don't need to show up till, I don't know, March 1st. Okay, whatever. Give them a month and they're fine. So you're still a couple of weeks out from drop dead, but we're pretty close now. Camp is open and a lot of these guys don't have money.
Rich in Woburn. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Maz, I'm conflicted. So, one, the Red Sox did nothing this offseason, but with the amount of free agents that are still up, top free agents that are still out there, I mean, not many other teams in the American League outside the Yankees and Astros really did anything. And I compare the American League to the AFC in football, where it's an absolute dumpster fire after the top couple teams. So how am I supposed to feel about this team going into the season and their expectations? I'll hang up and take your answer.
Okay, so Rich, again, this is where it gets a little tricky. Because our standards now are a little different. So how should you feel about them? Okay. You should feel okay. I wish I could tell you should feel great.
Is he right about the American League?
Yes, it's dog food. Absolute freaking dog food. Again, let me ask you, after the Red Sox, who's the next best team? If the top four are Houston, New York, Cleveland, Boston, whatever order you want.
The Angels. The Angels made moves. They got Ian Kinsler. I think he's better than Pedroia, certainly coming back from this injury at second base. They got Justin Upton. They have the best player in the game, arguably, in Mike Trout.
Pitching. Again, I asked who's... I can't...
Yeah, their pitching's a little shaky, but their lineup is better than the Red Sox.
A little shaky? You can't tell me they have one bona fide starter?
What if Ohtani is a stud, if he's worth all the hype?
Okay, so again, but that's a big variable.
My God, the
big variable is all these young players that underproduce for the Red Sox.
No question, yes.
I mean, he's interesting. He's just the two-way player, right? This is the guy from Japan.
Yes, correct.
DH during the week and pitch once, I love that story. But what, you're penciling him into the top of that rotation? So, no, but the fifth team, I said Kansas City just to say Kansas City.
Okay, and I said Minnesota. They get in last year. They get some players and, some young talent, some pitching, too. So, I look at – but again, but the point being is once you get after four, I think the first four are clear.
So the caller's right about that. It's wide
yes.
open.
Oh, the American League's dog food. It's absolute garbage. And so, you know what I mean? It's a bad league. And again, what you're seeing in baseball, too, is more teams saying, we're going to suck. We're going to go the Houston route. We're going to go the Cubs route. We're going to get high picks, and in 3 years, we're going to be good. This goes hand-in-hand with the free agency approach. So what has happened? You've got what you've got in the American League. You've got four good teams, and the Red Sox are one of those four. Maybe they're fourth, and they probably are fourth. And then you've got a lot of other people, and maybe one or two in the middle. That's it. But there's a lot of crap in the American League.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
If I never make the Hall of Fame to go up as a Celtic with my number here, that's probably all I can ever ask for. That'll be enough. That will be enough for me. That will be enough. Because it says a lot. That says a lot.
I get obsessed with nonsense little topics. And this is one of them. The Celtics in their jerseys. I find it so patently absurd.
You're driving me nuts.
It's just one of those things that, I mean, I guess it's harmless at the end of the day. But, better be obsessed about this than something that really matters. But anyway, it is. Because I think it's so patently absurd how they do it. There's 22 numbers up there.
Oh, no, way too many. Yeah, the Celtics went way overboard a long time ago.
There's 22!
Yeah, they went way overboard. I mean, and now they're paying for it because, they got guys like Shimi Ogele wearing 67 or whatever the hell he's wearing out there.
Well, it's not just that. It's that once you let in this guy, you got to let in that guy. That's really the problem.
True.
And so I pick up the Boston Globe today. Again, while it arrives at my door, my little baby dinosaur, my newspaper, and Adam Himmelsbach, who covers the Celtics, writes about who's next. Listen to this. Next up, Garnett, Ainge.
No.
To which I'm a no and no, unless Ainge wins a couple more.
See, I'm a firm no on Garnett. I can't believe people are even throwing that out there.
Yeah,
he was here for 10 minutes.
I am too. This would be like the Patriots, putting
Junior Seau.
Corey Dillon in their Hall of Fame. Like, yeah, he helped you get a title, but, I mean, it was too short of an amount of time.
So, I mean, but like Garnett, you can at least he won a championship, and he won it for you as opposed to Pierce. So if you're going to put Pierce in there, you might as well put the guy who actually won the thing for you up there. But no! He was here 6 years, played well and healthily. It was a big health issue, but he was an impact in three or four of them. And he won one title, and he goes up?
How many games he missed a year? Was it an average of 16 or something?
Yeah. He was really fully healthy and only won.
God!
That was the first one.
But it gets worse. So Ainge, look, Ainge has won championship in 17 years. How do you put him up on the banners for one championship in 17 years?
You don't.
That's patently absurd.
You don't.
If he wins a second and, if this incarnation goes on a run and wins multiple titles, then hell yeah, fine. Go ahead. Put him up. He would have rebuilt two teams on the fly and won two championships with two different eras. That's hard to do, and so fine. Put him up. But as it stands right now, you've got to be kidding me. One title in 18 years and 44 goes up? And he bit Tree Rollins on top of it?
And he traded Kendrick Perkins.
He's trying to beat you, Murray.
And so then Himmelsbach. So those are the two that say, he says, raise it. Like, automatic. Automatic! Put Danny up there. One title in 17 years? God, that's ridiculous. And then he says, debate it. Listen to this. Debate it.
I know. I saw this, too. I was like, come on.
Rajon Rondo.
Oh, please. That's a joke.
No!
No.
Rajon Rondo.
No! No!
Rajon Rondo.
No!
You green teamers, man.
Yeah, no shot.
Everyone's a Hall of Famer. Everyone gets their jersey. Even this a-hole, Rajon Rondo, who, I'm sorry, was not even the most important point guard on the championship team. Cassell got most of those big minutes when it mattered. People forget that. Sam, the ghost of Sam Cassell.
I put James Posey up before either one of them.
Ay vey. Never mind. How many teams has he destroyed, including yours?
Rajon Rondo!
No, but he says debate it. Don't do it. He says, Ray Allen, don't do it. Wow, that's great to see that they're showing some restraint. He says, maybe not, but hear me out, Antoine Walker.
No.
You're going to need a big banner for his number. That guy's huge.
Then he says, save a spot or two just in case, dot, dot, dot. Kyrie Irving.
Sure.
I mean, if he goes on to win three championships here, yes. And he's, you know.
Yeah, does he re-up here and stay? Sure.
No, well,
yeah.
No, look, he's tracking as a Hall of Famer, and if he wins three titles here, put him up. So fine, I'll leave a space for Kyrie Irving. That's reasonable. Al Horford?
No.
No.
Yep.
Al Horford?
God. No.
Al Horford, he was serious about this.
No. Comparable win shares to Robert Parrish and Dave Cowens.
Guys, no. Guys.
He's never taken over a game in his life.
The Celtics have jumped the shark. The Celtics are a joke with these jerseys, a joke.
Horford's a yes.
And I said, Jimmy, I'm just going to let that go because I know you're purposely just doing that to do it. You don't believe it.
I do.
I said last night on TV, like, I bet you the Yankees don't have as many numbers retired, and they've they won 27. It turns out they've retired just about the same amount as you.
Oh, yeah, they're getting real goofy lately.
They are getting goofy lately. Okay. They're letting too many guys in now.
Cap, the Yankees also have 22. You have 22. The Yankees have 22. Except.
Can you tell me who their 22 are?
I'm going to. Also, the Yankees have won 27. You've won 17.
Most in NBA history.
They've won 27, you've won 17, and their championship window started in the 20s, not the late 50s. So they had a full generation more and 10 more titles. So they should have as many. They should have more than you. But you tell me how many cheapies they have on their list.
Not many, but in recent years, more so.
Listen, let me give you the list.
All right!
Were they playing against guys named Dolph?
I'm going to give you the list. No, well, a lot of these were before baseball was integrated, so I think that's a fair thing to bring up.
Yeah, so can we take them off the board?
Here's in numerical order. Billy Martin, Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Joe Torre, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra. Stop me when you get to Loskatov. Or Frank Ramsey. Stop me when you get to Max.
So the only questionable name so far is Billy Martin, but okay. Go ahead.
Let me pick it up at five. Joe DiMaggio, Joe Torre, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Bill Dickey. Who was the catcher in the 20s?
Yeah, Bill Dickey was a good player, yeah.
Dead ball era.
Roger Maris, Phil Rizzuto, Thurman Munson, Whitey Ford, Jorge Posada, Don Mattingly, Elston Howard, Casey Stengel, Mo Rivera, Reggie Jackson, Andy Pettit, Ron Guidry, Bernie Williams.
Okay, so Bernie Williams, Pettit, and Posada shouldn't be up there.
Yeah,
okay, so
get Pettit out of there.
You've said three.
Mattingly, goodbye.
Billy Martin.
Billy Martin's a no?
I say no on
Billy
Martin.
He won three or four. And as a player, how many did he win?
Good question.
All I'm saying is, that's a legit list. That's a legit list. There's not many guys you look at and you go, Frank Ramsey? Ed Loskatov?
Jim?
Bill Sharman? Cedric Maxwell, who I love and I don't want to be disrespectful. Do you know he was never named to an NBA All-Star team?
Oh, I'm not surprised. He was the MVP finals MVP, rather, in 81, I believe.
He was never an All-Star?
Yeah.
Like the Yankees, please. That's a legit list. You could pick apart one or two or three guys.
Actually, it was 84.
Those guys, five off.
Those guys from those late 90s seems like, who's next? Are they going to put Paul O'Neill in? Like, some of those are goofy.
Okay, so the Yankees, I can, but there's only two or three.
Right.
A much better, do you want to know a good list? A model for you? But it's too late because you've jumped the shark and you're talking about putting Rajon Rondo up there. I mean, once you do that, it's like, why am I even paying attention to this? It cheapens it. It cheapens it for Bird and Russell and the guys who belong up there. Rajon Rondo, you've gotta be joking. The LA Lakers, who've won just as much as you, they have 16 championships versus your 17.
Most in NBA history for the Celtics.
They have 16. You know how many jerseys they've retired?
Let me guess. I'm going to say 12.
10.
Wow.
Ooh.
10. There's 11 numbers, but only 10 players because they let Kobe put two numbers in there, which is a whole nother thing. I'll get on them for that later.
No, you won't.
That is dumb. So you want to let the guy sell a few more jerseys as merchandise? You give him two numbers, 8 and 24? But they only have 10 players, 16 titles, damn near the same amount as you, with less than half the names. And listen to the integrity of this list. Kobe, Wilt, Elgin Baylor, Magic, Kareem, Shaq, Worthy, West. And then you get to Jamal Wilkes and Gail Goodrich.
Jamal Wilkes.
So
good God. Gail Goodrich is legit. Jamal Wilkes?
Gail Goodrich is legit?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Fine, so there's one where you go, give me a break. The Celtics? Fully half those numbers up there are like, give me a break. That's a list with integrity right there. That list means something. You get on that list, Kobe, Wilt, Elgin, Magic, Kareem, Shaq, Worthy, West, Goodrich. You get on that list, now we're talking. The Celtics? Oh, please, please.
Rondo. To even mention Rondo's name is insulting. Well, like, that's pathetic.
Call Adam Himmelsbach.
They got a spot up there for Eddie House?
I mean, just because, again, I'm obsessed with the topic and I looked it up. The Montreal Canadiens have won 24 cups. 24, not 17, 24.
Oh, I bet you they got a bunch of guys.
15.
Ooh.
15.
The Flower.
Okay, I'm not. I didn't bother writing down this list because I'm not going to go over Maurice Richard and Boom Boom Geoffrion. Okay,
15, but they were all teammates in the 70s because that team was a wagon.
Those Celtics jerseys, that whole thing, it's a joke. I am sorry. Back to your calls right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh. Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've been here, I guess, since about the 1st of December, you know, working with Brandon Henry, one of our trainers. You know, he's did a lot of good things for me. Just continue on with what we were doing at the end of the year last year that made me feel really good coming off of the injury. So I'm excited, I'm optimistic, and I feel really good.
A pretty good session, I thought. Pretty good session for him.
He's playing it straight.
Yeah.
Smart.
He's playing it straight. He's playing straight. I don't think he's bending over backwards for you, the fans, or bending over backwards for us, the media. But I think he came to the middle in a few places, which you'll hear. And again, thanks to Dan Shaughnessy. Thank God Dan was down there. He sort of pushed the narrative and took over the session here for a series of three or four questions and got a good back and forth. So, Jimmy, let's just start with David Price, number 7, if we could, please.
You had options to come to other places or to come here when you made the choice. Do you have any regrets about your decision to come here?
No, not at all. You know, everything that I've, you know, been through in the past 2 years, you know, it's been a struggle, absolutely. But, you know, I feel like I've gotten better from it. I've learned from it and look forward to continue to learn.
And how would you characterize, like, what happened last year with your relationships with us? It didn't seem like you liked to be in Boston at the end.
That's the way, you know, it was interpreted, then, you know, that's you know, I could have handled it better last year, absolutely, you know, but I didn't, and, you know, I've moved on. You know, I look forward to getting back this year and getting off on the, you know, on the right foot.
Okay, so first of all, I meant to mention this. I'm giving away Bruins tickets this segment. Bruins tickets. Free Bruins tickets for you in just a matter of minutes, so don't leave your radio if you want Bruins tickets. Stand by for that. David Price, and good for Dan Shaughnessy asking him directly, did you want to come here? Any regrets to come here? And at the end of the year, it felt like you hated it here. And Price denied it, I guess, but I still believe he hates it here.
So do I.
I still believe he didn't want to come here, and he only came here because the Red Sox outbid the Cardinals by $30 million. He had to. And I'm not convinced he likes it here or is going to like it here. But his answer there was, I thought he, you know, again, like you said, played it straight.
Yeah, and so here's what I wonder now with Price. Like, the whole opt-out thing. Is he playing nice because, hey, look, new year, start over. At the end of the year, I pitch well, I'm out of here, end of story. Or is it the opposite? Like, it feels to me like he got a talking to. So from somebody, and it might not be somebody in the organization. Might have been his agent. Might have been a friend. Could have been any one of a million people that said, listen, look at what's happening in the free agent market this offseason. Nobody's getting their money. Nobody is getting their money. So if you opt out, be aware that you're going to get on the market and not get anything relative to what you've already committed to. That's number one. And so given that reality, you might be here for 5 more years. You have to seriously consider it that way, and you better start acting like you're going to be there 5 more years. Otherwise, you're going to be the most miserable SOB on the planet, and that's not going to be any fun for anybody.
Look who learned to assimilate.
Even more miserabler, because he's been the most miserable guy in town here for 2 years running. Give me number 8, Jimmy.
In the middle of last year, I think it was in June, you sort of changed your policy about talking. Are you going to go back to before that, or is it?
I mean, we can talk, but you know, you're not gonna just come over and kind of overload me with negativity. That's not gonna happen.
Love it.
All right, that's not gonna happen.
Great cut.
Can't get blood from a stone, Shaughnessy.
Yeah, I'll talk, but you come over, Shaughnessy, and start peddling your crap, I'm out. So, you know, good question by Dan. You didn't talk last year. Are you back to talking? And good answer by Price. I'll talk, but I'm not taking your crap.
Yeah, well, look, good for him again. Like, I don't think it serves him to take the bait. He takes the bait so much. Like, again, one way or the other. If you pitch well and you want to opt out, then you win. If you don't pitch well and you can't opt out, then at least don't make it a miserable experience for yourself.
Give me number 9.
We know you like your teammates, and we talked about that extensively last year. When you pitched so well in the playoffs after that game, the game one, it was hard to get you to say anything nice about the fans, or you're talking about your teammates only. How do you feel about the fans of Boston?
I'm fine. You know, I've never, you know, said anything about it. You know, I know, you know, what to expect. I just need to go out there and pitch well. You know, like I just said, if you don't like it, pitch better. And, you know, that's what I plan on doing.
Do you think it's overly critical here with us and the fans and the talk show?
You guys expect a lot. You've had a lot of championship teams, and I don't know dating back to how long, but I know the Patriots have won a lot. You know, I think the Celtics in 07 or 08, you know, I remember around then. So the Bruins. You guys, you know, expect a lot. You know, I think guys coming into Boston know that, and just go out there and win. Winning cures everything.
Okay, good job by David. He hates you. Us. He hates us. Hates us. But he answered that, well, you know, do you like the players? I mean, I'm sorry, do you like the fans? He says, they're fine. I never said anything otherwise. Which isn't really a denial. He says, I just haven't said anything about it. Fine. How do you like the fans of Boston? Fine. I've never said anything.
No, look, to me, what I find astonishing about Price is that he so easily gets sucked into it. Just ignore
it. But he's not doing it then.
No. But in the past. And so now it's like this huge achievement that he's learned to just kind of stay right on the line.
And also not lie. It's not like he's sitting here saying, no, I love the fans. This is a great... He didn't go on and do that nonsense. This is a great place. I love this place. It matters here. It matters to the fans. It matters to me. I love the atmosphere. He didn't do that. He said, fine. It's fine.
Took me 2 years, but now I'm an emotionless robot.
But I just thought that was a skillful, you know, because if he starts lying and laying it on too thick, well, that ain't no good either. So I think, you know, just sort of reading between the lines, it's relatively honest there. Give me number 10, Jimmy.
Do you think of yourself as a leader on this team?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You know, I think everybody in their own right can be a leader. You know, it's not something you wake up and say, I'm going to be a leader today, or, you know, you just, leaders lead. And, you know, there's definitely different ways to lead. You know, there's going to be different types of leaders, but, yeah, absolutely.
Why are you laughing?
What are they playing ping pong in the background? What the hell is that?
Playing catch or whatever.
That's not catch. It feels like they're playing ping pong. They're getting ready for the Bruins ping pong thing or what?
It's not something you wake up and say, I'm going to be a leader today, or, you know, you just...
All right, let's not get distracted. I mean, whatever. Number 11 on Eckersley. Go.
And when you speak to things you regret about last year, is the Eckersley thing one of those things? Do you regret the way that played out?
Yeah, I mean, I said it before. You know, I could have handled certain situations last year better, and I didn't. You know, I said that last year in the clubhouse to a big group of you guys. So, again, I could have handled it better.
Do you see him this year? Would he try to make any amends there?
If he wants to talk, I'll talk.
So he's still on that thing. Like, he's still, you know, X got to talk to me. I don't talk to him.
Yeah, if I were him, I'd let the X thing go, is what I would say. If I'm Price, here's what you say. Look, I screwed up. You know, I look forward to seeing Dennis and end of story.
So he didn't go there. But he did say, I admitted I should have done some things differently. But are you going to talk to Eck? Well, if he wants to come talk to me.
If he wants to talk, I'll talk.
Like, that's, like, David.
You want to step?
you owe him an apology, not the other way around.
Yeah, and I don't think X going anywhere near David Price. If I had to guess, I'd be like, screw him. I'm not going to go down there and talk to him. So I think that one is what it is. Like, that, I don't know that, but that'd be my sense. I have a hard time believing X going to, like, show up and all of a sudden play nice.
Okay, I thought Price did a good job today, or, you know, there was some material there.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.